Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your light path. Headshot.
Let's go. More democracy.
Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 471 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockarts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Ah, my microphone was muted, but I'm back.
Hey, bud. This week we've got kind of an interesting show. We don't have a lot of news. We've got a five-star that gets a good joke. I think we're going to be talking about Viego this week. Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about the roundtable from last week, a new one from this week, and we've got quite a few emails to answer. So that'll be it for this show. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. I hit Diamond 3 on my Smurf account this week. I guess I hit Diamond this week on my Smurf account as well. So I did get my second account to Diamond before either of you two. Not that it's like that big of a deal, but true. You know. And then I kept climbing with it. I'm D3 on it. I think I got to like 70 points D3, but then I started falling. I had some rough games today. I've only been playing Tom Kench jungle, or not Tom Kench top, and it's been pretty fun for the most part. I gave myself a new goal though this week, because I was just hanging out, playing my Tom Kench, realized I'm doing pretty well on it. Obviously, it's 65% win rate over like 90 something games, I think, on my Smurf. I guess it's my main account rank wise. And then I noticed, hey, I'm third in NA and top like 50 in the world. I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And then I kept like tracking as I was climbing, and currently I'm rank 1 in NA for Tom Kench, according to League of Graphs, their arbitrary ranking system, and I'm rank 5 in the world. The highest I've been is rank 3 in the world now, but I dropped a little bit after today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I lost 4 games today, which is kind of rough.
Oh, I see.
I'm rank 5 right now for Tom Kench. I would love to get first, but I think the first place guy is a challenger player, so I'm probably not going to get first, but I'm down to get second in the world. That'd be kind of cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, they call me the best Tom Kench, not only in this podcast, but in all of North America right now. So,
wow.
It's kind of cool. I'm really enjoying playing the character, though. He's
You're going to become the Pope of the Church of Kench.
Yeah. We kind of have that as like a joke going in my stream now, that it's like the Church of Kench, and I'm the leader, and I've converted a lot of souls so far.
I'm telling you, dude, you're the Frog Pope.
I am. I really am. I've had a lot of fun like streaming this past week too. If people have been tuning in and stuff, it's been pretty good games for the most part. Yeah. I hit one of my sub goals, so I'm going to be making a Tom Kench guide this week, and I'll probably put it out like sometime early next week. It's going to be like a full in-depth guide of like laning phase, builds, items, how to play like mid game and late game and stuff like that.
It's so wild how you have like enjoyable games when you stream.
Yeah, I don't know. I just try not to get like annoyed. Like some games are rough regardless, right? Like no matter what, you're gonna get annoyed, but you just have to do your best to like realize that you're not in control of it all the time, right?
No, I get it. It's just like, I mean, you've watched my streams, and again, I play terribly plenty of times, like, mm-hmm. but it's like the couple games out of 10 where it's like I'll go like even 4 games. And like int 3 and hard carry 3, mm-hmm. but 2 out of those 3 that I was hard carrying, my team just absolutely runs it fucking down.
Yeah, it just happens for sure. Like the games this morning were like super rough. Like with that, mm-hmm. it's just like some people, dude. Like you can play like a 50-minute slugfest, dude. And if you're one player on your team just doesn't want to win or doesn't want to play anymore, you're just not going to win that game. It's like mm-hmm. super sad. But I've been having fun. We currently have a sub goal going on my stream for Tom Kench like cosplay, so I'm gonna get a big frog suit with a top hat and stuff if I hit that. So we're having a lot of fun though, so I'm gonna keep streaming. That's twitch.tv/leaguecastfrost. I stream the show here every week, and then I stream solo queue and stuff. Sometimes I stream looking over our Discord plays and stuff. I think I'm doing that tomorrow night.
Stream some PUBG with the bros?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to like stream non-league content, so I'm just gonna try to keep it league theme. But I think it's sometimes gonna be like not gameplay, because I think it's hard to play League on stream constantly. That's a hard thing to do. But yeah, it's good. What about your week, Colton?
Yeah, I've been playing League also, a decent amount of solo queue. Not just one thing. I was looking through, and I think of my like 100 ranked games, I have like 30 some unique characters. So true Colton fashion there, averaging about 3 to 4 games per unique character. I've been playing a little bit of Tahm Kench top. It's been very frustrating to crush lane and then just watch my team run it down. Like, I don't know how a Vladimir dies 10 times when you have infinite escapes on that character.
Yeah.
Or why Seraphine players frontline. But, you know, it's interesting how you just, like, lose those games even though you solo kill a Gnar, like, 3 times. And just, like, have a billion farm. I don't know. It's I've had a lot of really, really frustrating games in the last couple weeks where it's like, cool, we're up like 5k, 3 dragons, lose that game. You know, where we have like Soul and Baron and still lose a fight. And you're just like, what the fuck is even happening?
Yeah.
I played a couple games with Quinn where it was like, he's, you know, Senna with 120 souls and 4.5 items. And again, just like, well, I guess it was just too difficult to stand next to the Senna. It's a game. I don't know. I'm not really enjoying ranked that much this season. I think it's probably because I'm stuck in platinum and like high plat, low diamond is super toxic.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And it's just really frustrating, like losing the games you play well and then randomly winning on other coin flip games where you play terribly. Like, yeah. Aside from that, I've been playing a lot of Slay the Spire. They put that game out as a mobile app, so I picked that up. It's like $10. So I've been going through and doing all the unlocks on a save file on my phone. So that's been a lot of fun. It's been a hot minute since I played the Ironclad, which is like the first default character. And he's got some pretty fun builds, even though I like don't play him. Obviously, I think like the Watcher is my favorite, which is the fourth character, the most recent one that came out. But they're all good. So that's been, I think, pretty much everything. After the nice winter storms here and it being, you know, super cold and the whole state shutting down, it's been like 70 the last couple days. So back to normal Texas, I guess. That's
crazy.
Yeah, it went like -2 to like 80 in the span of 6 days.
Yeah. Jesus.
But yeah, that's all I've been up to. Nick, how you been? How's your climb? You're like almost in series or in series?
I'm in my series. I played 4 games with Aiden, which took me from, I think, 64 points plat 1 to my series. We won 3 straight and then lost one, the first one in the series, despite Aiden and I's best efforts. I think Talon is a wild character that I don't know how he's not, like, has a higher pick rate, I guess. I think he, like, smashes solo queue so hard.
And it's the crazy. Gore Drinker build makes him so far. He doesn't just get blown up anymore. It's super
sick. Yeah. Like, you CC him, and there's no CC long enough to kill Gore Drinker, Asterix, like, all of those health items with Conqueror. So, very fun. I've been playing, you know, Cho'Gath, Seraphine whenever she's open, Udyr in the jungle whenever he's there. That character's overpowered, I'll say it. his Seraphine, base damage is too high. I meant Udyr, but yeah, Seraphine as well.
Seraphine's nuts too, but like Udyr falls in that weird category of you can build him a full tank, go even, and still out damage like 3 item 80 carries.
I mean, I think 80 carry damage is lower, like, overall. Udyr has always been really good at about 1v1ing squishies, though. Like, he has really high base damage, so.
Yeah.
And, like, against squishies and, like, 1v1s, yeah, he's nuts. But even in just, like, a general front-to-back team fight, like, Udyr hitting tanks is going to probably do more damage than most 80 carries hitting tanks. And that's, I don't know, man. I don't want to get like on a soapbox and complain the whole show, but I'm not very happy with the state of the game right now. I think it's terribly unbalanced.
I just think jungle's too strong. That's about it.
Oh, 100%. I don't think anyone's going to disagree with you that the state of the meta is really, if not unbalanced, really unfun at certain times. So, I think that's, I mean, I've been playing some Legends of Runeterra, doing the mm-hmm. what are they called? The labs.
Yeah.
So doing that, been pretty fun. Picked back up Cyberpunk, so doing that. I think that's about it. Not too much otherwise. So let's get into the show. We have three new patrons. Shout out to Louie, Psygonic, and Moon for joining the Patreon this past week. Thank you. We appreciate the support. Do we have any LeagueCast news?
Not too much. We are going to be recording a new LeagueCast Fixes Champions probably tonight or in the next couple days, depending on how long the show goes. So that will be up probably by the end of the weekend, I would assume. We'll probably actually double record this episode for February and the one for March if we record not tonight. So those should be up soon. Make sure to check out those. They're about $1 on our Patreon. They go live for non-patrons a month after on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/LeagueCast. Outside of that, monthly plays video will go up on the first as per every month. I'm going to be like looking over the clips on stream in a couple days, probably Thursday, tomorrow. Outside of that, is there anything else? I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I'll be wrapping up the rest of the OP.GG reviews. So those are back up and running. We took the off season off on those, but if you are one of our patrons that has signed up for that, or that's something you are wanting to get into, I know someone was asking me during community night yesterday how that works, but I think Aiden and Nick, you guys have already done yours, and I'm going to go finish off the rest of those tonight. So, yeah.
So just make sure if you've paid for it, then like make sure to send us your summoner name, or at least check out the OP.GG sheet. The Google sheet is actually on our Patreon. You should have a link to it. It's also pinned in our patron channel on Discord, so you can make sure that your name's like properly updated there. Because guess what? We can't give you an OP.GG review if you don't have your summoner name. We can't go searching for like all like 40 of you or whatever. So, cool.
Yeah. Cool. We have one starry from BBY845. Josh out of Josh would recommend 5 stars. Somebody once told me this continues into the full song. Did you copy that or did you?
No, I just wrote that. Okay. I was not going to make you read the entire fucking like.
Okay. Okay. So that's what I was asking. He posted the entire song.
Yeah.
And we, okay.
Or like whatever, like the max word count for a review is, but
yeah. Well, thank you for the review, BBY. Please leave us, 5-star reviews, and we'll read them on the show as long as they're not the script to the B movie or somebody once told me whatever that song that is.
I think it was Darude Sandstorm.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you guys know that band? Who is it?
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth really hates that they're associated with Shrek.
Yeah.
Because you go through their Twitter, they had a number one hit before Shrek came out, but no one gives them credit for
it. It's funny.
Cool, let's talk about Viego because we haven't done him yet. Let me pull up his little champion page. So Viego I think currently is really, really strong, but I think his best role is the jungle. 100%. So we're gonna be talking about him in the jungle. His passive is Sovereign's Domination. Enemies who fall before Viego become wraiths. By attacking a wraith, Viego temporarily seizes control of the dead enemy's body, healing for a percentage of his target's max health and gaining access to their basic abilities and items. He replaces their ultimate with a free cast of his own. So that's his body possession move. His Q is Blade of the Ruined King. Passively, his attacks deal an additional current health as physical damage, additional percentage, sorry. His first attack against an enemy he has recently damaged with an ability hits a second time, dealing extra physical damage and restoring a percentage of the damage dealt as health. These bonuses are kept during possession. On active, he stabs forward, dealing a little bit of damage. His W is Spectral Maul. When you begin charging, he gathers mist, slowing himself. On release, he dashes forward and hurls the gathered mist. He deals magic damage and stuns the first enemy hit based on charge time. The stun length is based on charge time there. Mm-hmm. His E is Harrowed Path. He sends forth a specter to haunt the first terrain hit, surrounding it with mist for a couple seconds. Viego gains camouflage, move speed, and attack speed while inside the mist. And his ultimate is Heartbreaker. Viego discards any souls he is currently possessing and teleports. On arrival, he attacks the champion with the lowest percent health, briefly slowing them and dealing extra missing health physical damage. On nearby, other nearby enemies are knocked back and take physical damage.
I didn't know how to knock back, to be honest.
I did not either. I don't think I've seen that a bunch, obviously, because I feel like he doesn't really ult into five people at once. Mm-hmm. But this character is insane. So let's talk about his recommended summoner spells, skill builds, everything like that. Mm-hmm. Flash, Smite, we're talking about in the jungle. I think Flash is the best since you can Flash W.
Yep.
A little bit of extra distance there. Max Q, Max E, then Max W. The E cooldown gets to be 6 seconds at max rank, so it's really, really short. And it's such a powerful tool for Viego. Mm-hmm. So definitely max that second. And then moving into item builds, we're almost exclusively seeing Red Smite, which makes sense with his auto attack based mm-hmm. Playstyle. I am going to give my thoughts on the items that you should rush.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a character which you shouldn't rush a mythic first. You should 100% of the time go Blade of the Ruined King.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think there is any other item that works as well as his kit, with his kit as this item. It gives him everything that he wants. It doubles his Q percent.
It's almost like the character and the item were made for each other.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like, you got the item of the Blade of the Rune King. The character's going to be built around that. He has tremendous synergy with it. Please build it first and nothing else. We're seeing a lot of Kraken Slayer, which makes sense. He procs on hits very quickly and very efficiently. So I think Kraken Slayer would be good. We've seen a bit of Trinity Force. I would like to give a little special shout out to Sunfire. Mm-hmm. I think Blade of the Ruined King Sunfire is I'm going to say it's probably very strong, and we're not seeing any of it.
Yeah.
And I think this is a character who can utilize it extremely well. Gets him tanky, lets his base damage and Blade of the Ruined King do all the damage for him. I think that's probably the best mythic for him. But, I mean, Kraken Slayer, we see Trinity Force, like I said. I like to then see Steric Gauge third. I think that item is still really strong.
Yep.
And helps you stay alive to get, you know, make most use of your passive. Then you can start going into Death Dance, GA, Spear Visage, basically any other item that you want after that. He doesn't have a core build after those items.
Yeah.
Boots, take whichever defensive boots. Or attack speed boots if you get really ahead, but that's kind of it. I don't think he utilizes lucidity, which has seen a recent rise in popularity. And I think that's pretty much it for his items. If I missed over anything, please feel free to jump in.
I think you covered it like pretty well for the most part.
Yeah. As for runes, he is probably the second most efficient user of Conqueror after Urgot. So you take Conqueror, you take Triumph, Alacrity, Coup de Grace, or Last Stand, depends on the game, I think. And then probably go Domination. I would go...
You always take Ravenous. Like, that's a pretty obvious.
Yeah, Ravenous 100% of the time. I feel like no other rune in that tree is really stands out for him. So maybe Sudden Impact, because you can proc it pretty consistently. You know, maybe Eyeball Collection just for extra damage.
Yep.
But the choice is kind of yours there. And then for minor runes, attack speed, adaptive force, armor, pretty solved for the jungle there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Viego. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, he's like actually insane. Like, he does have, like, in theory, like, a low win rate for, like, his character. I guess it's not that low, it's 49. That's higher than I actually expected, but, like,
yeah,
his ban rate kind of shows how strong the character is right now. It's almost 45% with still, like, a 10% pick rate on top of that, so he has, like, a 55% presence in ranked. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of insane. He does have, like, losing statistic matchups versus, like, the run fast and click you characters, the boomer characters, as Nick and I have been calling them, like the Udyrs, Skarners, Rammuses, etc.
Yeah.
But, like, honestly, he just kind of takes over games. He's a very gross character. right now.
Yeah, it almost seems like late game, if even early, even like later early slash mid game, if he gets a reset, body's possession, whatever, the fight is lost. I've seen Viego's hard carry almost every game. He's my permaban at the moment.
We'll eventually get to him in our like patron show, like fixing characters things. But like, I do think like part of the problematic part of his kit is the fact that, like, it sounds stupid that like I think nerfing him would be making his ult targetable. But like the fact is that when he gets a reset, resets are strong because he heals a ton, because his healing is based off of literally anything it could possibly be good. It's based off of their AP, AD, attack speed, health, whatever. Just give him, like, he just gets, he pretty well gets 20% of his health bar back every single time he ults, like, goes into a body. So not only is that strong,
minimum.
Yeah, but it makes him invulnerable other than to turrets, which doesn't matter because you get 20% of your health back, so it doesn't really matter. And you get a fresh set of abilities. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Characters are gated a lot by cooldowns, right? Like, if you're fucking, let's just say, I don't know, Warwick, right? You're gated by your Q cooldown. I only get to heal and do this much damage on cooldown. But when you just kill someone and turn into them and you get their abilities, you don't have that gate. Because that, like, cooldown gate, you kill someone, get their abilities, kill someone else, get their abilities. You have, like, a no cooldown character that heals 20% of his health every single time and goes invulnerable to drop, like, aggro. And then at the end of that, even if you are able to catch him after he, like, goes on this fucking tear through your team, he ults out. He ults over a wall. Because it's not a targeted ability. He can just go over walls with it. It's so crazy.
I think that making his ultimate target an actual character would be nice. I am not a huge fan of the just, like, these characters that have these tools that are supposed to allow them to go in, but then they just use them as get-out-of-jail-free cards. Like,
Yone.
Yone, I think, is the way bigger example because it's such a long distance. Like, in my eyes, there's no reason he should get that dash if he doesn't hit a character. It's ridiculous that he does that. Like, I think Pyke is right. Like, Pyke doesn't get his dash if he doesn't hit a character, and for something that's like that long of a distance, it's just really annoying when he's already got an escape. Plus, like Viego, he already gets his invulnerability and his massive heal and his reset of cooldowns. Like, he's got plenty of other tools. He doesn't need to be able to ulti himself over a wall.
Yeah.
Or to be able to use it to, like, gap close and then run you down because he's just faster than you.
You know what makes, like, me so mauled about the character that I don't think is, like, making him OP by any means? Where he just throws his fucking, like, spectral goo in the middle of, like, lane because it doesn't have to bounce off anything. You can just throw it on the middle lane. And then he just sits there invisible for 8 seconds. It's so fucking dumb, man. Camouflage. It should be nearsighted. It should not be, like, not nearsighted. It should be stealth, not camouflage, right? I think.
No, you're thinking camouflage, where if you get close, you see him.
Isn't that what he has though? You can't see him when you get close,
so,
right?
Are you saying it should be like Senna's, where you can see the outline of him?
I just don't think you can see him at all when you're close to him, right? Or am I crazy?
You can if you're in the mist, I think.
Oh, you have to be in the mist. Okay.
I think
it's camouflage, but it's only if you're all... Okay, that's weird. Yeah, I've just had him in lane, like, literally just throw it in the middle of lane, just stand it, and I'm like, I go up to it, and you can't see him. But I guess you have to be in it, okay?
I think so. I'm not 100%.
Because that is not fun, man, when he just fucking throws it in the middle of lane and can just stand there for 8 seconds. It reminds me a lot of, like, a Akali Shroud. Like, it's very hard to deal with.
Yeah,
I think it should be either just regular camouflage, or honestly, I think you should be able to see him, like, just like with Senna, where it's like, okay, you can't see his health bar, but you know, like, where his unit is. And I think that, like, that's already an established thing for, like, this is how mist camouflage works. But yeah, I don't know. He's wild. It's insane to me that a character can, right, like, he falls into the same bucket as a lot of other, like, melee bruiser-ish really high damage characters, where it's like, you can be 2-10 and down 40 CS, get one fight, and be able to 1v9. And I hate that.
He's very frustrating.
I hate it.
Yeah. Cool. Best skin for him? Do you think it's his base skin or his Lunar Beast one?
I think it's his base skin.
I don't think I've ever seen someone really use good. The Lunar Beast one.
I think his base skin is better than the Lunar Beast, yeah.
Yeah. Those set skin lines pretty weak, though, I think.
I think so, too. I think the only exception is Fiora. The ulti indicator on that is really clean. I like it a lot. Yeah, character's really strong. One of two characters with Elise who has, you know, percent current health damage as well as an execute. Making him very effective at killing you when you're full HP and also killing you when you're low HP.
Yeah.
So very hard to play around someone like that. Mm-hmm. But hey, just ban him.
Yeah, he's just got a very overloaded kit, like a lot of things. Like, you're mentioning current HP plus execute, and he's got a dash, and he's got an attack damage reset, and he's got a cloak, and he's got a dash, and he's got healing, and an invulnerability. Oh, wait, he also resets and gets to use other characters' abilities. Like anything that you could come up with, he's got hard CC. Like, he's got everything. He's kind of like the Camille when she came out, and you're just like, what doesn't he have? He fits that same bill.
I wouldn't say maybe quite to the same extent as Camille. Really, Camille was something bonkers.
Yeah. No, like, it's...
He's very strong, yeah.
He's very strong, and just, like, he's got kind of, like, at least some level of every tool you could want. Like, I guess he doesn't really have range, is the only thing I think that you could say that he doesn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, because, like, he can go invulnerable, he's unstoppable during his ultimate. Like, he's got everything.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Cool. That is it for Viego. Play him. Ban him. Do something.
There's no competitive news, but the only funny thing I saw, Nick, do you see the thread on, I guess it was on CLG's subreddit?
Oh, I did not. I don't go to the CLG subreddit. I think it's almost worse than the League subreddit.
Let's just say, man, so their academy team, you know, like, not, once again, reality is one series doesn't really matter, but it's just funny. Their academy team lost to an amateur team in a best of three.
That's pretty funny.
It's just funny. So crazy. It's just impressive. Like not that can't happen, but, like, it shouldn't happen ever. Sort of.
Yeah, and that it happens to CLG, like, just makes it funny.
Yeah. Well, that being said, like, I do think CLG is not playing well at all, but
yeah.
Once again, like, Doublelift had he put out, like, a vlog today about, like, just thoughts on, like, retiring and yada, yada, yada. And one thing that he did touch on a lot was that fucking results during the season don't mean shit, man. Like, the
100%.
All you're doing is training to, like, be there for playoffs. So the reality is, I don't think CLG is going to be a first place team, but honestly, by the end of, like, spring split, they still could be a top five team. We really don't know. So much can change in, like, that amount of games, that amount of months, so we'll see.
I mean, like, I feel like CLG has a pretty good grasp on the laning phase in the early game, like, altogether. It's just they haven't meshed in team fights, and this is what the entire meta of competitive League revolves around.
I mean, they get leads in literally every game. Like, it's
9-0 for First Bloods. Yeah, 9-0.
They're 9-0 for First Bloods and 1-8 in games, right? It's just impressive, though. Like, I would say they have, like, they've lost games with Baron, like, four times now. I think they've lost games with Soul, like, one or two times now. It's like, if they can constantly get those leads and then learn to transition, they're going to be a not awful team, I think. So.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think they're, like, probably middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
But
cool.
It's okay. They should be relegated from the LCS, so.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the roundtable question.
Yeah, so last week's question was, what animal would make the best League champion? From our Facebook, we got a couple. One, Chris, he says, I think we could use another rat. I get that Twitch is a mutation, so it would make sense that there might not be others, but I feel like it'd be cool to see the aesthetic applied to a different kit, perhaps one that could complement his. Can you imagine a Mrs. Twitch skin?
I mean, this is 100% Twitch 2, right?
Just Twitch 2, Electric Boogaloo, yeah. Carline said, sorry,
they should make a rat support that just, like, sneaks around the map.
Yeah, I think, yeah, there should be, like,
he puts a little hole in the wall in bot lane and shows up top.
That'd be so fucking cool.
Okay, that'd be kind of cool.
Carline said, a shark, it'd be cool, top or AD carry. And if it were an AD carry, dolphin, if it were an AD carry, a dolphin support or Tom Kench would look great together. Sure, man. And then Noah said, my solo queue teammates, classic. Zinger, And then from Twitter, we got a couple. One from Jeremy says, give me a dinosaur champ. And then Womper said, Poro, big ball of fluff, beating me up sounds cool, and give it some kind of passive to make him become massive like Cho'Gath and max size. It becomes the Poro King with a crown. I could see them making a Poro champ at some point or something to do with Poros, but
I saw like a fan-made one that seemed kind of interesting, but yeah, they definitely could make a Poro character.
Yeah. From our Discord, we got a fair amount. We had lots of good answers this week. I'd go check them out if you're a listener, because I'm not going to read them all, sadly. One from Pards, he says, I'm just here before they all start spamming giraffe. True. Benjen said, hey guys, Benjen here. It's been listening for a long time, and I love the podcast. Hope you enjoy the champ idea. And Axolotl, they would be such a cool champ to add to Ixtal, the same region as Kiana. Axolotls are found in the southern / central Mexico, so it'd be... it would fit in with the Mayan-inspired lore for Kiana and Ixtal. Plus, we need more champs from this region. Such cool lore, and they've only scratched the surface of it with Kiana. Plus, they're super derpy looking, and I feel like it's a hilarious champ idea. That's a cool... I think that's a really good idea. Speedy Spike said, either a either pufferfish with gnar-like mechanic that allows you to transform into a big spiky boy, or a leech that has a Yumi attach mechanic where you scale up the longer you've been attached to a champ, maybe slightly impair your host, or scaling increases faster with more damage the host takes to encourage crazy aggressive early game, early bot games. 30 minutes comes and you can pop off and lifesteal get crazy. Could you imagine your character is just, you just parasite your AD carry until you become the carry?
Dude,
you'd be so mad if you're an AD carry player.
Yeah.
Your support just picks the leech character.
I just mean
support Senna.
Yeah. People, she doesn't eat shit though. She doesn't just like.
No, I'm just...
I like the idea of it just making your AD carry just weaker, and your AD carry is pissed.
Yeah. I mean, I also like, this would be a funny character, but you know, within like 2 weeks, there'd be some like stupid LCS strat where you run like Senna Yumi bot lane, leech top, and then funnel Taric Yi.
Yeah.
And then they just put everything on the Yi.
Yeah.
At the very least, it'd be like a solo queue legend strat where it's like, all right, we funnel Taric Yi with mid jungle, and bot lane's just Yumi plus leech. And they just like in the lane, get no CS, and then both attach onto the Master Yi.
Yeah.
And then both by Moonstone or anywhere.
Yeah. Kushvatai said, Octopus imagines ulti spreading his tentacles and pulling all enemies next to him. He could use his ink to blind enemies as well. Hell yeah.
That sounds like a Lowy 2.
Yeah.
But they could also make it like a control mage, right? And that would be cool, I think. I want more control mage. I want control mages to be meta again, so hell I can play the game how I like.
You're just playing the wrong ones.
Skydrill said, a turtle or duck that has the ability to use river for movement speed. Do you think I brought this one up because do you think we should have more characters that are affected by stuff on the map or no? We don't have too many, but we have a decent amount, I would say.
No, I don't think it's a good idea. I think we've already seen the biggest offender of the Skarner.
Yeah.
And the there have been more than a couple times has his what are they even called? Whatever little Skarner spires. Zones have been problematic. Yeah, spires.
I think the only character that uses map features really, really well is Kiana.
I think so as well.
I think it's a very good implementation of it, though. So
yep,
cool.
I think Rengar is also pretty decent.
Yeah, okay, like, Rengar's no G1.
It's cheesy, but it's also so straightforward, and bushes are just so common on the map where it's like, okay, that makes sense.
It does. It is interesting how like different Rengar feels if it's a fire map or ocean map.
Ocean, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you're right.
We had a fight around our red buff in a fire map game, and Rengar did fucking nothing because there's just no bushes near red buff, like when it's fire map. It's like, it's so crazy compared to like if that was ocean map, he probably just solos our team. Like a game I played, it's just crazy.
The other thing I guess I would say is if you're gonna have a character interact with the map, the best way to implement it, and the one that is pretty much just not even considered, is like have it just interact with terrain, like the walls.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, any character with a knockback interacts with terrain if you know how to do it. And then there's, you know, the specific ones like Vayne or, like, Ornn that, like, needs terrain. But, like, if you W a character into the wall as Alistar, you can wait, like, an extra half to a full second before you Q. And then, like, you know, there's obviously Kiana ult and stuff. But, like,
yeah, no,
there
like,
are tons of characters that interact with walls. And I would I think more of that is fine.
Yeah, light and map interactions are like really, really good for the game. It feels insane. I think it's a really, really good implementation. Cool. This week's roundtable question, though, is if you could have any duo partner play League with, dead or alive, who would you want as your partner? Why?
Didn't we answer this one recently?
It was an email that I like took.
Oh, it was an email.
From like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Gotcha. I would like Nick to be my duo partner, and I'd prefer that
you... I was going to say Nick. Fuck.
And that I'd be dead?
Yeah.
It's oh, fucked cool, up, dude. Man. God, I think I want you alive, though, so.
Oh, thanks.
No problem.
This is hard.
Yeah, I
don't know.
My answer literally was going to be like, it's actually just someone I play with already. Like, it sounds dumb, but like, I don't want to play with someone that I don't like. Even if it's like, hey, man, you can do it with Bjergsen, I'd be like, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just super cool to do it with like Trevor, Nick, Colton, whoever. I feel like those like people that you enjoy playing League with are like the people that you should just be playing with. So it's good.
Yeah,
I feel like I feel like LS would be a pretty good option, mm-hmm. right? Because you could just learn a lot.
Yeah,
and, I mean, he would flame the
shit out of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he would flame the shit out of me, especially. he would hate me. But I think there's like a couple personalities of like professional players that I think would be a blast to play with. But yeah, in general, it's like I would want to be playing with somebody that I think I'd have a good time with. And the fact is, if I played with like any current or former pro, I'd probably just ant every game or drag them so far down. Yeah. It's like, yeah, if I'm duoing with Bjergsen, I'm either inting challengers or he's playing in like D2. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's hard. I'll say like season one Hasha GG.
Hell yeah, dude. Just bring him back.
That was so fun.
Yeah. I loved old Hotshot.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If you want to tell us which duo partner you would play League with, dead or alive, you can hit us up on our Facebook at LeagueCast, send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, tweet us at LeagueCast, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. That's leaguecastpodcast.com/discord.
Can I change my answer to something toxic?
Yeah.
I would choose...
I'm sorry, more toxic than dead me?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, that was toxic in a funny haha way because I don't actually want you dead, but I would choose to duo with Prey so that Quinn could have a friend that knows Prey.
Oh, that's so funny. That's so fun. But
you're lucky he doesn't listen to the show anymore.
Yeah.
I know, but I had to do it.
Yeah. Let's move into mail fight. The first email is from Lacona. Subject, simping for Aiden's stream. I was going to make brief kits for a new champion and a champion rework, but decided this was better. Hear ye, come one, come all. I have been brought here to tell all those who will listen about the great stream of the one true Sir Pope Frost. Feast your eyes on all that he offers, nonstop viewer interaction, flawless emotes of he who is our great lord, a subscribe sound that blesses the ears of all those... who have the privilege to witness, and a cute little smile whenever you say some dumb shit in chat. Please take the time to see what Sir Pope Frost and the Church of Tom Kench can do for you. This man is so good with the tongue, he can kill divine beings, I imagine. Also, please sub, he's so close to the Kench cosplay and I need it. Lacona. How close are we to the Kench cosplay?
15 subs. I set it to 55, which I think is fair, because it turns out adult frog costumes are more expensive than I want to spend money on.
Dude, that's so funny.
You're popping off. I think the most funny I ever had was like 10.
I subscribed to you for like 11 months, Colton.
I know. It's because Aiden puts out good content.
True.
And he doesn't just get angry at his teammates on stream.
Hey, you can also check out twitch.tv/bluebasket.
Yeah.
/LeagueCastFrost.
To watch me lose games and get angry at my teammates.
Yeah. Thank you, Lacona, for that email.
Yeah. Next email is from JFK was quickscoped.
Nice.
I didn't read the whole thing at first, and I just looked at the like first six letters, and I thought it was going to be like just a whole string of random letters.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was like, God, I'm going to have to read this whole thing. anyway, he said, so I think I found my niche. I took the show's advice and focused on getting my CS numbers up, making it a goal to out-CS my lane opponent every game. Since I started playing Quinn, I went from Bronze 4 to Silver 4 in a week and a half, picking runes based on matchups, switching between PTA and Electrocute. Currently, I'm Silver 4 with 63 LP and a 73% win rate on Quinn. Here's some screenshots. Let me know what you think or not. I will not apologize for the length of this email.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, 73% win rate on your main and going up a full division in a week. That's good progress. Keep it up.
Yeah, just keep doing that.
I don't know what else to say. Just keep doing that because it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's unfortunate that you've fallen into the disgusting Quinn abuser fan base, but yeah. Hey, if it's working for you, go for it, my man.
Okay, Nick.
You do Seraphine play Seraphine, abuser. Yeah. What the fuck? You play Seraphine?
I've played five games of Seraphine. That's true. Hey, that's true. But there's a difference. There's a difference between playing... I mean, I'm a meta abuser, right? But there's a difference between abusing the strong champions that didn't get banned when they should have a 100% ban rate and playing a ranged top laner.
Yeah, who never gets banned.
I was going to say, I'll leave it at that.
Oh, definitely. There's a big difference in the type of toxicity there, but...
No, one's worse than the other.
Yeah, really worse. I just need to flame you, Nick, because you're doing better than me.
True. Hey, just for now, bud. I'm sure I'll lose one more, and then tilt streak all the way back down to plat 4 like I did last season.
Hell yeah! I'll see you there, buddy.
Thanks, JFK. Next email is from Sigurd. First off, Lamau. This is regarding the comparisons between Seraphine and Sona. It would be impossible to not compare them. It's like they got the idea from Sona and forgot she was already in League. Similarities. Both music mages with utility and focus on teamfights. Both have empowered auto attacks. Both have AoE stat buffs. They buy the same items. Both names start with S. Both have big music-related prop, but basically the same are. Both can engage and disengage. Differences. One uses instruments and the other sings. One is marketed towards small girls. The other is a fan favorite of boys. One scales better into late game. Sona hyper carry support still a thing? Seraphine has longer range. Sigurd. I mean...
I think that's ironic. I'm assuming that's an ironic email because it's like funny. Because a lot of that is.
I hope
like,
so.
Yeah, I think it is. If it's not, it's all. That's all right. You know?
So, I mean, they have a lot of similarities. And we talked about this when she first came out and everyone was saying she's Sona 2, where it's like, yes, they have a whole lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you can do that with just about any character in the game.
Hey, look, these two characters have empowered auto attacks, have line skill shot cues, have a dash. Have a pretty worthless W in team fights, and have a long range line ultimate. Can you guess the character I'm talking about? Because it's Lucian and Caitlyn. Like you can do that with almost any two champions in the game if you just pick two at random. There's a lot of similarities between characters that seems to be okay in certain cases that aren't okay in the case of Seraphine and Sona. I don't understand why it's such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sona's, like, since season one has been a pretty unpopular character, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why that's a bad thing. Play them together. I think Seraphine Sona is actually a disgusting bot lane.
Oh, it is gross. I don't want it.
It's sick. So thank you, Sigurd. Next email is from... Oh, wait. Oh, it's your turn. Sorry.
Back out of my spotlight, man. This next one's from Elliot. He says, fuck you, Aiden. I agree, Elliot. We can just move on. That's the whole email.
Yeah.
He says, so you preach about Tahm Kench top lane. What do? I try it. I love it. It's fucking fun. But I win lane so fucking hard in every matchup, and then I get camped by the enemy jungler. I win lane. I have fun. But my last three games, I just get camped constantly by the enemy jungler. And instead of reacting to the other lanes, my jungler sits in his own jungle jerking off and ignoring the fact that the enemy is top.
You got a Graves then.
And you have free tanks in mid or bot, but no. He's instead going to farm and do jack. Oh, you think he meant free ganks. Farm, air quotes farm, and do jack shit. And while that's happening, my AD carry and support goes 0-2 in lane in the first 5 minutes without a gank. Anyway, all in all, I'm loving playing Tahm Kench top.
Hell yeah.
A question. Would Riftmaker or Liandry's into Gnasher's Tooth into full tank be good? Or would I be trolling to play a bit of AP on the Kench? Sorry for the long email. Sorry for any typos. And thanks for suggesting Tom Top, the hard stuck bronze player, Elliot.
It's a little troll. I don't think it's like terrible. Apparently, like, Shen mains are starting to go. Is Riftmaker the same? There's not. Is there an item called Omwrecker? Or no, that's the old item. Okay, that's what I was confused about. Yeah, so Shen mains are starting to go Riftmaker sometimes, which is interesting. So I'm wondering if like Tom, not that Tom Kenshin Shen are the same character, but they are kind of both bruisers that do a lot of damage. So maybe Riftmaker isn't dog shit, I guess.
I don't think it's good. I don't think it's better than probably Chem Tank or Sunfire, but like, does he do enough damage and like on hit to use that Omnivamp? Yeah. Like, is the health gonna be helpful? Yeah. Like, it's not a bad item, right?
I think Riftmaker is a little troll, but I think Gnasher's Tooth is in like into full tank is probably really good.
Yeah, but you can also, instead of just going Gnasher's Tooth, you could just go Wit's End. It's probably just a better item.
Yeah, true.
The main problem like with Tom Kench is the fact that his passive scales so well with health. So just building like just full tank right off like the get-go like gives you so much magic damage on hit. Like after your Sunfire, you're doing I think like 60 on hit magic damage, which is kind of insane. Maybe actually more than that, but
Pog. Thank you, Elliot. Next email is from Kellen. Hello, LeagueCast Podcast. Sorry for the long email, Kellen. Damn, cool. Dude.
That's a long email.
Unacceptable. Thank you, Colin.
Okay, to follow up that long one, we've got a real short one here from Johnny. He says, hey guys, when I saw the question this week, my first reaction was solo queue teammates. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out to be everyone else's reaction to solo queue sucks. Yeah, solo queue teammates are animals. Haha, it's funny because it's true and we all have that shared experience.
Yeah.
Anyway... Iron 2 Lining. It made me think of a new champion based on the meme. Say hello to the newest champion, FF15.
No, pronounce it correctly, Colton.
Sorry, the newest champion, FF15. Lore, half human, all chimpanzee. He's Wukong's red-headed stepchild who wandered off after a butterfly. He was found by Lilia, who continued to train him until he became strong enough to single-handedly take down his whole team. Champion type, split-pushing jungle who loves fucking face-checking bushes, AFK farming, and wandering around aimlessly. Passive, when an enemy enters vision, immediately flashes towards them. The ability has a 3-second cooldown. Champions can't take flash as a summoner spell. Oh, he can't. This champion can't. Q. Throws a banana boomerang, which stops on hitting the enemy and deals AoE damage. If it returns to FF, he gets movement speed and health. Projectile travels in a circle if allowed to do so.
So if he doesn't catch it, it just comes back to him. That's sick.
W. Immediately dash to the closest bush in range and releases a piercing chimp scream, which damages nearby enemies. God, I'm just imagining him using that to get out of, like, the enemy base. And you just see him zoom away to the nearest bush, which is going to be, like, the bottom of Red Buff.
That's so funny.
Anyway, E jumps on to an enemy champion and starts bashing their head for a couple of seconds. While on the enemy, he's immune to damage, but CC will cancel. While attached, the ability can be recast after 1 second to jump to another nearby enemy champion. He can continue to jump to enemies until the champion he's on dies, he's CC'd, or his mana runs out. 30-second cooldown on ability drop. While ultimate, grabs an enemy champion with his tail and starts bashing them around, damage based on their health. Can only grab enemy champions with lower HP than him, and at any time during the channel can throw the enemy in a target direction, dealing AoE damage to enemy champions, or dealing double damage if the enemy champion hits a wall. First skin, certainly not FF15. probably OP or RNG, but that pretty much sums up solo Q2. Thanks for the great content. Keep it up.
Hell yeah.
That's a good idea. We need more monkey champs. Pog. thank you, Johnny. Next, the email is from Ian. What's the end goal of giving new champs like Viego and Samira kits that are fucking insane compared to everyone else's? Isn't the result they are permabanned until Riot nerfs them into the ground? How does Riot get the champion pool to a state where these kits are remotely comparable to the other 100-plus champions they've released over the years? It's not the design of these champs isn't cool in a vacuum. It's that they just don't compare to the rest of the pool. Sorry, I'm just tilted, but there's a reason Superman is boring as fuck, and it's because he's fucking Superman. So GG everyone else. When these champs pop off, it feels the same way. Viego, fun attached for... he attached a picture. Mm-hmm. For reference, enjoy Viego powering through Threshook in Flace and a Root Xerath stun and Skarner ult and walking away with full HP. One additional thought, the problem isn't even that they are overpowered, it's that there's so much shit going on in their kit that even if they are absolute trash from nerfs, I don't want to deal with their bullshit. To me, that's the root of the design problem. I don't see a balanced state where I feel the design of it, my champion... where I feel like the design of my champion compared to the design of Viego or Samira is comparable. Thanks, Ian. I think we've definitely all felt a very similar way. Mm-hmm. Like, how many times have you said, oh, this is a Season 10 champion. I didn't pick a Season 10 champion.
Yeah, no, it feels frustrating. But that being said, like, there's just as many times that you get rolled by a Season 1 character, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just, and like, some mechanics are more frustrating on newer characters, I would say. It doesn't mean that newer characters are only OP, though. Today I got fucking rolled. We got 1v9'd by a Singed. Like,
yep. And I'm going to say, like, I said this in the Discord the other day, but I think the argument that a champion is unfun to play against is the weakest thing that can exist in, like, in a discussion. Because I, like, name a champion that is smashing you that is fun to play against. Like, there isn't one in the game.
Yeah, there are fun, like, mechanics, I think. Like, I think Caitlyn ult is a fun mechanic.
Yeah, I think Jhin ult is a fun mechanic. But Jhin as a character is still very frustrating to play against if he gets ahead.
Yeah, it's not fun, like, to, like, lose to people, I guess. I do agree, exactly. Like, stuff like point-and-click stuff is probably, like, you could argue that's probably, like, what you could say is, like, not fun to play against. Like, I prefer playing against skill shot stuff versus mm-hmm, point-and-click. I think that's fair. But I do, yeah, think, like, just saying, yeah, this character's not fun to play against usually isn't a good sign of criticism. At least, like, you could at least go into more depth, like, why you don't think
a character's fun. Well, yeah, and it's that that's the result a lot of times of another issue.
Yeah.
Where it's like, X character is unfun to play against because their abilities are all point and click, or because they have too much base damage, or too much CC, or they're, you know, hyper mobile. Like, it's something else. And when it comes down to it, like, the other player being better than you and beating you in lane is another reason why that character's unfun to play against. And that's when you get into what Nick is saying, is like, no character is, like, fun to play against when you're losing. And, you know, even if you're going even or winning, it's a spectrum, but it's like, 99% of the time, what's really happening is there's, like, something else that's causing that, which should be what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they have too many tools, or, like, you know, like, one of the easiest things is, like, you know, if we buffed Kalista to, instead of dealing 90% to 100%, and you're like, Kalista's unfun to play against, and, like, if you stop there, it's not an argument. But if you say, like, hey, this character deals too much damage and is too mobile, like, okay, those are legitimate criticisms that you can then have a conversation about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, like, I'm not saying that this is what Ian is saying at all. But I have seen this argument made a lot in the case of Seraphine in particular, Seraphine and Samira in particular.
Mm-hmm.
When a lot of these, I don't know, I personally don't feel like these two characters are so, like, overloaded and game-breakingly broken that it's unfun to play against them. I don't know. Like, I think we're always going to see power creep, and I think it's a good thing for League. I think if the game stays as simple as it did in Season 1, there's no fucking way in hell that League is still as popular as it is literally a decade later.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, like... Aiden has said this a lot. There cannot be an Ashe, like, a Garen, a Ryze released in season, like, 11. I firmly believe that character is going to be labeled, like, a failure until their numbers are too strong to ignore. Like, we almost need flashy, like, super fun, super cool champions to come into the game to keep people involved, to keep, like, I don't know, the gears moving for everything, basically. So, and maybe that's, like, a poor take, but I don't know. No, I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I think that that's an accurate take, but for me, that's why I stress the need for more reworks.
And I completely agree. Yeah, for sure.
Because, yeah, no, you're absolutely right that the game, like, would become stale if they stop putting out new ones, or they, like, and they can't put out, like, another Ash or something like that simple and straightforward because people bitch and moan about it.
Well, I mean, like, imagine they release Ash and she has, like, a character who is not difficult but has, like, a very average, at best, like, win rate. Mm-hmm. The character, like, mm-hmm. is remarkably unpopular for its entire existence after that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Sorry you feel that way, Ian. I hope it gets better. You do got a ban for one of those characters. I ban Viego every game. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again.
I've been banning Kai'Sa every game.
I don't have to lane against Kai'Sa, so I don't ban her. But I do think she is a worthwhile ban.
I ban her because she 1v9s games when she gets a 2-kill lead.
Oh, I mean, when she hits 2 items.
True, yeah. She can be down 8 kills and still 1v9. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yep. That almost happened to Aiden and I in a game. Their Kai'Sa was 4-18, I think, at the end of the game, and she proved to be more useful than our Sivir with mm-hmm. almost a full build. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next one's from Mkifius. Hey, Leaguecast, I have 2 questions for you this week. Firstly, how do you decide when to build Death Cap on AP champs? It is obviously a lot of damage and power, but when is a cheaper power spike like Lich Bane a better choice? Secondly, why is everyone building Lucidity Boots all of a sudden? I saw a bunch of them in LCS this weekend and don't understand why. Sent from a steamy shower. I'm curious.
So I think for Death Cap, my personal opinion, you build Death Cap when you're really far ahead or really far behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sort of it. If you're only slightly ahead, it makes more sense to build more of a defensive item so you can stay alive and you don't get, you know, you don't give over a shutdown or anything like that. If you're slightly behind, Death Cap is a very expensive power spike. So you're putting a lot of gold into just pure damage when, again, you probably need more efficient items. If you're really far ahead, you have the gold for it. If you're really far behind, you need the damage. So that's sort of my philosophy behind it. There are a lot of games where I end full build without a death cap, just because I feel like mage itemization is fantastic at the moment, and death cap is more expensive. It gives less AP, so it's not entirely worth it to me, but I'm sure...
There's also just, like, with the strength of the bonus damage you get from the mythics now, that compensates for a lot of characters mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. no longer having that, like, third item, you know, Rabadon's spike, which used to be kind of core. You know, jumping back into the, like, history of League, it's been, for the most part, since the start of the game, where it's like, you get your first item, your AP item, which has changed. It was, like, been Ludens, it's been Athenes, it's been, you know, now it's Liandry's or new Ludens or even Night Harvester. And then, like, you go Death Cap and Void Staff, one or the other, like, next. And then probably the other one, and then sometimes a Lich Bane.
Yeah.
Or sorry, sometimes an Hourglass.
Yeah.
That's been, like, the way that you play AP characters for the most part, with the aside, I guess, of the Rylai's Liandry's characters. Now again, right, these new mythics do so much damage, and then the other items that are available that give you like bonus movement speed or that give you just a ton of extra damage with Horizon Focus, early Hourglass is super strong and it's really cheap now. Like, there's just all of these options, and particularly waiting for, you know, 3,800 gold to actually hit that spike is such a long time that the character who did go Hourglass plus like a Needlessly Large is just going to win that fight mm-hmm. and then reap the rewards of that for the next 8 minutes.
Cool.
Yeah. Next up, why is everyone building Lucidity Boots? I feel like that's sort of just a recent sort of discovery. Ability haste is really, really strong now that the cap is removed, and the, what is it, 20 from that?
Yeah.
Helps you get to closer to 40% very quickly. Not to mention that, especially in competitive, summoner spells are tremendously important. So having the summoner spell cooldown, you know, helps that as well. When literally the game can be decided on if a flash is up or not.
Yeah.
So having the, like, I don't know, 10 to 12 seconds maybe shaved off of summoner spells is really critical in this upper echelon of play that we're seeing.
Plus, like, there's a lot of availability to survive and to do what you need to do on your character that doesn't require, like, perfect efficiency for damage. Really, like, I think, you know, like, AD carries getting Berserker Greaves or mages getting Sorcerer Shoes, right? Like, in general, that was always the thing, because, like, you need that magic pen to deal your damage. But, one, the ability haste is going to up your damage, and then, like, because I can now have my flash up more and I can Gale Force, like, it's not about getting every attack possible. It's about, like, I can stay alive in the second, like in the fight, 8 seconds longer as an AD carry or as a mage because of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'll also say that I feel as though the current AD carry and generally just League meta right now revolves much more around the use of abilities, which sounds really, like, strange and stupid. But champions like Caitlyn our other auto attack based characters aren't super meta, while we are seeing a lot of characters that really rely on their abilities to make fights happen, to do things in fights, and Lucidity Boots just help that happen faster.
I think in particularly a great example of that right now is that the Sivir build I've been seeing is a lot of, like, lethality Dark Harvest Sivir.
Yep.
And, like, that's not Sivir for anyone who's known Sivir since she came out, which was at the first release of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, Sivir's the auto attack character.
Yeah, she auto attacks. She has big crits and big wave clear.
But that's not how the game works right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Thanks for the email, M. Kefius, and I hope you had a wonderful steamy shower.
And hey, thank you for hosting League Community Night Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Next email is from Dippy. Subject: game length. My ideal League of Legends is the 55-minute match. Those matches are the ones with adrenaline-pumping, high-stakes gameplay. I think the average game time in League should be 30 to 45 minutes, with games never, ever being decided before 15 minutes in. But the longer, the better. If people want shorter games, Riot should bring back 3v3s, probably with a healthier map design. And what's not to love about 3v3 for the game lover? Each player has a larger impact on the game. It's easier to make it to a skirmish. And game length could easily be balanced to 15 to 25 minutes, as it was back in Season 4. Dippy. So I think winning the 55 match or minute League of Legends is, like, peak League, and that's when you enjoy the game the most. But I would not want to lose a 55-minute match, so I would prefer that the game length be much shorter than that.
And also, if every game is 45 minutes, a 50-minute game doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or like a 55-minute game doesn't feel that much better. Right? There needs to be some kind of disparity. And I know you said, like, 30 to 45 minutes, which... that's a huge range when it comes to League of Legends game time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a game can be over in 15 minutes. A game can be over, like, within 5 minutes of, like, depending on what happens in that 5 minutes.
There is one more thing to it. Like, the longer the game, like, if the average game time, let's just say, is 45 minutes, that's because any advantage that you get isn't meaningful, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's why a game would go on that long. It means if you solo kill your lane however many times, if you get every single dragon, if you get whatever, these advantages don't mean that you win the game. And that isn't a good feeling. The fact that like you can win all your lanes, the fact that you can get these dragons or whatever, and then not be, like, guaranteed to win or have the game still be, like, in a weird, like, almost 50-50 state is not good, like, by any means.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's when we see what the Ziggs meta in competitive.
Like, yeah.
Just pick wave clear and hold out until six items for everyone.
Like, obviously, like, we don't want the opposite of, like, in the worst possible world, it would be like one person gets a kill and the game's over, right? And that would be like terrible.
The most extreme. Right? Yeah.
But I don't think we're in a bad place. Like, you can still come back from games. Like, I think our biggest, like, deficits that you come back from are like 10k gold, like, deficits, which is like a pretty good amount. Like, I think it's fine currently.
My only complaint is, and I sort of agree. So I think we all 100% agree that I don't think games should be decided 15 minutes in. And I want to add the caveat. I don't want it to ever be decided 15 minutes in by neutral objectives. Yeah. I don't want to be two dragons down halfway to Ocean Soul 15 minutes into the game when three out of the people on my team haven't finished boots in their first item, like, together. That's not a good feeling, and I think that is really poor game design. So I think, I don't know, I think, like, 1 or 2 minutes added to, like, between dragon spawns would be the ideal league for me.
I think that's one of the solutions. In general, I would like games to go a little bit longer, and I think that the way that they need to do it is to make more, like, scaling exist in the game. And, like, if kill gold started at 250 for minutes, like, 0 through 5, and then 275, 5 through 10, and then, like, 10 forward, it's the 300 it is now. Like, you could do things like that, like, lower the amount of gold you get from tower plates, where these are still important, but you can also still pick characters and play in a way where it's like, yeah, we're gonna get to 20 minutes and fight. Like, now I think at 20 minutes is almost like late game in the current speed of the game, where it's like, if you don't have a concrete lead at 20 minutes, it's probably you're getting, like, your shit stomped in. I don't know. But I like longer games and playing, like, control mages that can farm up. So that's a very biased point of view, where, like, I want to be able to pick Orianna and farm for 20 minutes and then team fight. Whereas someone who wants to play, like, Talon wants to be able to end the game in the first 10 minutes off of good roams.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
That being said, bring back 3v3s? Oops. Hell yeah.
I accidentally closed the dock. Thank you.
Dippy,
thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Next one we've got is from Dragon. Do you remember when building tank items made you more tanky? Pepperidge Farm remembers. Nowadays, the tanks are the champions that can abuse ridiculous amounts of healing that Riot obliviously shovels into their game while pretending that Grievous Wounds, more like a paper cut, is the answer for we need a tank. Is actually an answer. We need a tank, the team cries from Champion Select. Not when Yasuo just gets to build two lifesteal items auto once and gets 6,000 health back while also killing the enemy Sion because he's made of paper. I guess Grievous Wounds will do a number to him, but it's... Yeah. Hello, League Cast members. Enjoy the show. 3 out of 5 stars wouldn't change a thing. What are your thoughts on Grievous Wounds and tanks? P.S. This is ya boy Dragon. Okay, thanks. Bye. It's really tough because tanks do too much damage and they have a lot of CC. So if they're super tanky, it feels really bad to be anything else. And that's when you get, like, League of Tanks, because the full tank, like, Sion, who hasn't purchased a single damage item, is still going to 100-0 you, and that feels terrible.
If you go 100-0 by Sion, you deserve to die. I'll say it. By full tank Sion, you made a mistake. That character's fucking worthless in a team fight.
What I'm saying is, like, the state of the game...
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, is that where it's, like... If tanks are ultra tanky, they also do too much damage because tanks just do too much damage. And I think that's a game-wide issue where, like, I don't think there's really any tank, or the very few, I guess I'd say, because I'm sure there are a couple, but, like, for example, Tahm Kench is a character very good right now. You build him full tank, And you also 8-hit 80 carries. Like, you walk up to an 80 carry, like, Q, auto, 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 they're dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously this is a very specific example, but there are almost zero 88 carry items that have resistances on them. So let's just assume that you took armor runes because you played bot lane, which I think is a pretty safe assumption. You have 30 MR versus all of the magic damage that comes with Sunfire and Tahm Kench. Like, you're not mitigating a lot of the damage that other roles are. So specifically for AD carry, like, they just need a tiny bit of resistances to be in a healthier spot. But 100% healing is out of hand. I actually think tanks are in a fine spot right now.
Yeah.
I think tank itemization is really, really strong. Like, you get to make meaningful choices. Like, you get to run fast a lot of the time. It's just, he's right. Like, drain tanks are in a better spot because healing is too strong. Mm-hmm. And you can build Gore Drinker, Steryx, and Ravenous Hydra, which all have damage, which all have, you know, healing. A lot of it has health. So
yeah, I think that you're spot on that healing is just too good right now. And I think tanks, like you're saying, tanks are fine right now. I think that they're pretty strong. And I think that, like, their itemization is really good. The problem is that, like, AD carries, I think, are weak right now, which is, I think, a huge issue when drain tanks are good, because if you don't have somebody who can kill them before their next rotation comes up, they'd never die.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For, like, the I think the biggest defender is probably Kayn.
Yeah.
Where if you're playing red Kayn and, like, you get to proc Conqueror, at a certain point, if you get to cast more than, like, two Ws, the fight's over.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're just going to full heal every Q. Like, you Q Gore Drinker and you get 70% of your health back. And then you CC and then you dash again with your Q. Like, drain tanks are way too good, I think, right now. I think it's a problem with Conqueror and a lot of other things. But I agree. I think drain tanks are too strong. And I think that they should nerf, like, Lifesteal. I think they should nerf Conqueror, like... I get that drain tank is a really fun mechanic to play as, but it feels really shitty when you're, like, a two-item AD carry just free-hitting, like, a Viego, and it doesn't matter because he autos your tank three times and heals for all that damage.
Drain tank is always going to be a problem because either the healing is too strong or the Grievous Wounds is too strong, and, like, you either don't get to play a drain tank or... you're too, like, drain tank is too strong. So I don't know. Like, healing has definitely become problematic. There needs to be less healing from items, like, straight up. Probably from runes too, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Dragon. Next email's from Pards. Haley Cast Parts here. Been plowing through solo queue on my Smurf mid only account and purchased Azir to try to get better at. After a few sad games, I began to second guess my decision. Before I invest 100 games, I wanted to pose a question. Azir or Aurelion Sol? Sent from my warm shower, Pards. I mean, Azir is not a character that you're going to pick up and master instantly. He really plays really unlike any other character in League. So, I think that's a hard one. Give it, like, I don't know, probably 20 to 30 games before you really get the hang of Azir. And the exact same thing is going to go for Aurelion Sol. Plays unlike any other champion in the game. If you get good at Aurelion Sol, I feel like a lot of his matchups are pretty binary, meaning you just do Aurelion Sol things the entire time and there's not really anything that changes between matchups.
Mm-hmm.
But pick whichever one that you like more. You know, it's your Smurf. You're not, I don't know, maybe obviously people play Smurfs for different reasons, but
yeah,
I play on my Smurf to do troll shit that I think is good, but I don't play a lot.
Yeah, you need to learn new shit. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. I mean, I played Hecarim top earlier today. We lost that game, but I did all right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I play whatever sounds fun to you, you know.
Mm-hmm. And like Nick was saying, yeah, those are both very unique characters whose skills, I think Aurelion Sol more so, but really both of them are very unique characters whose skills don't transfer to a lot of others, and who your other skills that you're bringing in, like, if you're really good at control mages, yeah, you'll have an idea of how to play Azir, but, like, just because you know how to play Syndra and Orianna and Anivia, like, you don't know how to play Azir yet.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to take a lot of time, and if you're enjoying it and you want to learn it, go ahead, do it. If not, try a couple games on Aurelion. Give it, you know, probably 10 to 15 games, I think, is better than, like, I don't know what a few sad games means, but, like, it's going to take you probably 10 to 15 games to be competent on the champion, probably another, like, 25 to be good.
Yeah, I mean, he's a character that's very similar to, like, Marksman. It's like playing Cassiopeia, right? It's like, I don't know, there's characters that are a lot harder in League than other characters, and they take a lot more time. I always talk a lot about Aatrox being one of the hardest characters just to pick up and play.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, and I think Aiden and I both experienced, particularly with Aatrox, when we both started our win a game A to Z, and it's like Aatrox, 9 games.
Yeah, it's fucking hard, man.
And those first like 4, just like, nope, not a clue at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, thanks for the email, Pards, and good luck with your Smurf and your climbing.
Yeah.
Next one from Jazzy. Climbing low elo with dependent champions is the name of this, is the subject of this email. It says, hello League casters, only started listening over the past month but quickly fell in love with the show. This will be my first year attempting to climb the ranked ladder. In a couple seasons prior, I've played my placements due to friends dragging me along into duo queue, getting placed mid silver and then stopping. I feel like I could reach plat with proper preparation, such as watching my replays, watching VODs, taking notes, etc. My favorite champ is Shen, and I plan to make him my one-trick pony, queuing top slash support. The problem I've had historically is even if I get 4-0, my bot lane manages to go 0-10 or worse. The problem I've seen with Shen is that his power is the ability to split push and then join his team when someone comes to answer him, or to let your team maintain pressure while you pressure side lane. The problem with this is that most people in Silver and below don't understand how to position, ward, pressure, or play around a Shen's ability to force the enemy into a lose-lose situation, and usually end up forcing a fight before I can create pressure or get caught and blown up. I don't want to abandon Shen, and I really want to climb with him, but it feels nearly impossible to carry games when your team doesn't understand macro to that level, and honestly, I can't expect them to in Silver. Is it just a matter of doing well personally each game and eventually I will climb, slow consistency, or am I missing some tips and tricks that would help me solo carry games as Shen? Sorry for the long email and appreciate all that you do, Jazzy. So I'm going to make a couple comments and then hand it over to Aiden, who I think has played the most Shen.
100%, yeah.
So winning top lane is one of those things where, like, it can be completely dominant and you take over the game in 1v9, or you need a 4-0 lead and do nothing with it. And I think that that is player-dependent and character-dependent. If you're playing Shen particularly, you know, yes, you do want to split push. Ideally, I think you want to have a jungler or support as your duo, because then they can make a play and you can be there. You're never going to be able to get a solo queue team to, like, perfectly split push every time, especially not in Silver. But number of games is definitely going to help with this, where if you are consistently winning lane, like, it'll work out. But do you have tips to carry as Shen specifically?
Yeah, I mean, Shen is a lane bully. Like, so you should be, if you are a better player than the ELO that you're at, like, I mean, it sounds like you set your goals for platinum, so it sounds like you're relatively newer to the game. Sounds like you said this is your first season climbing, I think, in the email, I believe.
His first season, like, truly wanting to climb, I think.
So the reality is if you want to play a character like Shen, you probably should be solo killing your lane a decent amount. That character has a ton of power despite being a tank. So he has not only dueling power, which gets solo kills, but he also has split pushing power. I do think you're completely right that, yeah, Shen's power isn't as good when your team doesn't, like, play, like, 1-4 split properly. That being said, you also have to adapt to like your games like a lot. I was coaching one of our listeners like a while, doing a lot of replay reviews for him, and the guy is insane at CSing. He was the best fucking silver CSer I've ever seen in my fucking life. He can CS better than me, right? But he would constantly set up like waves where he would freeze, or like go for like side lanes where he'd like kind of just sit and freeze and hit perfect CS all game, and his team would just suicide and die. And guess what? He is making the correct play in the entirety of League of Legends. The play should be for him to farm there and have a perma freeze and deny enemies like CS and goal, and his teammates should just hang out and not die. But you're playing in silver, and that's not how the game works. So you should have to adapt to like the environment that you're given, right? So he started playing like more aggressive, started like giving up more CS, so you have a lower CS number, but contributing to your team more. So as Shen, maybe you want to like TP to a fight earlier, alt as an engage rather than as a reactive thing, to like actually force fights rather than like play reactively. Like, you have to figure out what works for the ELO that you're currently in. If you're playing in Challenger, guess what, man? You can sit in a side lane and your team will like play a 1v4 properly, or they should play a 1v4 properly. But you're playing in a game with very unique players at every single division, so you have to learn how to play to their strengths as well.
Yeah, and I really want to touch on what Aiden said. We played a lot of Shen Kassadin last season in an attempt to boost me back to Diamond. And I really, really, really learned the value and the power of Shen ult as an engage tool, or as a snap response versus like trying to save someone at low health. Because I think Shen ulti does a very poor job of teaching you through the shield scaling inversely with champion health, with target health, to, oh, this is my oh shit button. The same way that I feel like people use Lulu and Kayle ulties. It is so much better to prematurely ult on Shen to just get the frontline body there than it is to try to save the AD carry at 1 HP who's running away from the fight, and then you are away from the fight and you can't do anything, versus I see an enemy champion walking towards my AD carry, I'm going to ult instantly.
Oh, yeah. And your teammates are also going to like burn shit the lower they are. So like you could, I mean, the amount of times that I try to save someone at like 1 HP and then as soon as I ult, they flash heal away or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, cool. Exactly.
Awesome.
So now you've wasted a 3-minute cooldown, a 5-minute cooldown, and another, what, like 3.5-minute cooldown. Yeah. As opposed to, a skirmish is happening, I'm ulting right away,
yeah,
like instantly. I do think duoing with someone as Shen is a tremendous boon, just to have the conversation of like, okay, I'm going to need your ulti in 3 seconds. You know, they're about to dive me bot lane. That is super great. It's super nice. I do think what Aiden was saying earlier about CS is really important. Yeah. But Shen is also one of the characters that wave management is absolutely critical on. Mm-hmm. If you establish a freeze in your top lane and then ult away, the chances of you getting punished tremendously hard for that is kind of low.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, oh, I'm just attacking minions, you know, willy-nilly with no regard for that. Like, it's frozen in front of their turret, or is in a position to be frozen in front of their enemy turret.
Yeah.
And now I've ulted away, we've all died, it's a triple kill for the other team, and I have to overextend now to reset the wave.
Yeah.
And then I die on cooldown again, and the game's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, sorry.
Oh, no, I completely agree. The only other thing I wanted to mention is SodaFish in our chat also said that taking Ignite at lower ELOs is really good. I mean, it's really good at high ELOs as well. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You don't need double TP. Like, especially if you think that you're having troubles with, like, managing TPs to get into your team and help them in time, take Ignite. You don't need double TP at that point then, right?
Yep. Yeah. And Ignite's going to help you cheese out early leads to then pressure the other side of the map with, you know, with your ulti.
Yeah, but I think you should really focus on playing aggressive, though. If he can get a couple solo kills a game as Shen, he'll be doing a lot better, so...
Yeah. Absolutely. One other thing I just want to mention on Shen and a lot of characters is, like, also, as much as top lane's an island, nothing in the game is an island, like, be ready to help your jungler invade and, like, encourage it. Go mid, gank, get a herald, and use it mid, right? Like, the even if you maybe get one less plate from it, if you get the mid tower, then that like opens it up and is going to help your team mm-hmm. win in a way that, you know, hey, you could have gotten 600 gold onto the Shen, but getting like 400 gold onto a Kassadin that was behind is probably more worth, and yeah. it's going to help your team win the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Jazzy. Hopefully that helps, and appreciate the email. Next email is from Reckless Abandon. Subject: Shifting Faith. Hey there, Lee Cast. I was shortly a member of the Church of Tom Kench, but have strayed. I played an ARM the other day, rolled a champ I haven't played probably since around Season 3, and I had some success. So like any responsible League of Legends player, I took that champ directly into solo queue in a slightly off roll. I proceeded to get my teeth kicked in by a small child with a flaming teddy bear. After that, I changed my motto to Banny the Annie, and have since had about a 75% win rate over about 20 games on the champ. I have fled the Church of Tom Kench and become a parishioner of Kennen mid. I feel Kennen is a sleeper pick in low elo solo queue because he has all the tools needed to wrangle four toddlers towards a common goal. If you need engage, ult Zhonya's for an easy multi-man stun. Your bot lane fed the Jhin, electrocuted Night Harvester, let Kennen burst most squishies if he's slightly ahead. Feed Yi, ult and stand by your backline for an easy stun on any assassins. Need a tank? He's an electric rat. Take what you can get. He's also pretty solid in laning phase because with Electrocute and Hextech Alternator, I think that's what it's called. It absolutely is. His empowered Q auto W does half the average mid laner's health. I also run teleport to set up some easy double kills bot with the ult. I think Kennen mid is a great pick for low elo solo queue. Let me know what you guys think. Sorry for the borderline blasphemous email, Reckless Abandon. I think Aiden's left after hearing that, so we won't we'll make him comment on
unrelated on that. To the Kench thing, though. I do think the game, like, League's such an interesting game, and the fact that, like, this guy's having so much success in Kennen, and I think Kennen's one of the most dog shit useless characters in the game.
I think it's one of these things that I'm sort of subscribing to currently, where if you play a champion in a lane that they don't usually play in,
yeah,
I think you are going to find a lot of success if you're good at that character, because how many mid laners know how to play against Kennen in laning phase?
That's fair.
You know, and that's different from playing against Kennen in team fights, you know, which is different from playing against Tom Kench in laning phase as a support versus mm-hmm. top lane as a solo man, you know, hyper carry. Mm-hmm.
If your team lets you pick it in an off roll. I tried to play Varus mid and got 7 dodges in a row.
And you just shouldn't play to Varus in general, and then also not mid.
True.
I've been playing a lot of Cho'Gath mid into some of the more, I will say, cancerous matchups for Anivia. And I found, you know, pretty good amount of success. It's really hard for a, you know, Yone, Yasuo, Zed to ever kill a full armor Cho'Gath than it is to you know, go up against an Anivia. So I think there's some merit to playing champions in their off roles. If, you know, if you're having success on Kennen, hell yeah, go for it. Like, he can absolutely 1v9 games. It just takes a lot more effort than some of the more meta characters,
mm-hmm.
which I think is what Aiden was speaking
My
on.
My team
earlier.
Got clapped by a Kennen. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, it was so annoying.
Yeah.
Anyway. Cool.
Well, thank you, Reckless Abandon.
Yeah, and if you need to be forgiven, just go talk to Aiden. I'm sure Tom Kench has some kind of contract for that. He might take your wife, your soul, yeah. I don't know. Next email is from the Crag. Howdy, gamers. I've been an AD carry main for like 2 seasons, but I switched to top a couple weeks ago. Been one tricking Gnar and had 100% win rate all the way from bronze 1 to gold 4. It's the first season I've hit gold and I'm quite happy about it. Also, I've just won the Zaun Cup on both days 1 and 2 while playing top and just smurfing on everyone. I was on Aiden's stream the other day and I brought up how I thought it would be interesting to see Tom Kench top in a pro league. And off the top of his head, he brought up how it was brought in LCK a couple years ago versus the Afrika Freaks. Mad props to him for just knowing that. Keep on gaming, gamers. The Crag.
Fun fact, that Tom Kench top game in pro game in pro league was the last time Aiden was happy during a League of Legends game.
That game was like, the Tom Kench had nothing to do with that game. They just won the map and he just like kind of hung out there.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Such a useless pick.
I think Gnar is bonkers OP. It's fucking insane that Riot has buffed him so much. I think he, is currently like pick ban competitively. He has a really strong laning phase. The only difficult thing is managing rage. But if you do properly manage rage, you 1v2, you solo carry team fights, you do a shit ton of damage. Stridebreaker is nuts on that champion. I'm really surprised that Gnar is like probably seeing, you know, pretty low pick rates compared to what he should be at. But cool. Hey, keep it up, Craig. Congratulations on gold, my bud. Hopefully,
definitely, man. Get that skin.
Yeah, hopefully Victorious skins for a character that you play. That'd be sweet.
Victorious Gnar, it's happening, baby.
Victorious Gnar. That'd be kind of cool. Oh, he just throws the cup at you?
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks, Craig. Next, email's from Chris. Hey, LeeCast. Firstly, I wanted to say thanks for all the amazing content you guys provide. Your podcast not only helps my second shift breeze by, but it also teaches me more and more about League. So for that, I am super appreciative. The reason I am emailing you is to ask about moving away from tanky champions. For a long while, I would play champions such as Rammus to ease me into the game. I had a blast using him as a heat-seeking missile from the jungle that is not just a funny gimmick, but also amazingly viable. Thanks, ChemTank. As I have played more and more of the pandemic, I begin to play champs like Warwick and Hecarim that are still kind of tanky, but can do a bit more damage. I'm not as good as I feel I can be with them yet, but I'm working on it. So my question is, are there certain tips, tricks, or other mechanics that I can utilize to improve my survivability without having to play as a punching bag with a taunt? Thanks again for all the work you guys put into the show. Chris. It's going to be really difficult to answer this. Mm-hmm. Because each situation, each skirmish, like in each game, is very different from one another. But the best way is get a feel for how much damage your champion can dish out and take before it dies. And then, it's going to sound dumb, don't die. Because what I've noticed like a lot recently in high elo is that characters that I think would win a fight are backing off earlier because they know their character so well that they, oh, like if I take another like Jace Q, it's going to kill me. So I'm going to back off 3 seconds before the cooldown is up rather than, you know, trying to just get the kill and get out of there. So it's like, once you get more game knowledge, it's going to help. But once you get more experience with the characters that you're playing, it's going to help tremendously. So just play more, I think. Thanks for the email, Craig. Our next email. Chris. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris. Sorry.
Next one is from Chris.
Hang on, one second. Oh, okay. Sorry, go ahead. Chris is this one. Yeah. I don't know why the top bolded, but the bottom didn't. Yeah. Huh. That's all the same email. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So this next one. all right, it's been a minute. I come to you with this email for a few different updates. First and foremost, the roundtable. Man, ravens are probably my favorite animal. If we ever got a Swain rework, I want a release of the demon. I can't remember the name of who he has a bond with. I have no idea how it would work, but it'd be edgy, and that's good enough for me. And did I hear someone suggest Kingdom Hearts Donald Duck for League?
Christ.
My late response to previous roundtable is Sylas or Zoe. Man, fuck that heal. W should not heal that much, that fast, or that often. That's some wild shit. And Q shouldn't just half health you at level 1 and only go up from there. That just might be me being bad at the game, but she's definitely my permaban. Feel free to cut this out as it's considered promotion.
No, go ahead.
For a man that claims Saitama just wins against Dragon Ball, there's a video by Seth the Programmer who talks about how Krillin slaps Saitama around.
Yeah, I mean, so I've watched a lot of that person's videos, mainly because he does videos with this other guy who does Naruto videos that are pretty entertaining. Like, it's more just like talking about like power levels and power scaling and shit. Mm-hmm. And the main problem is like just Dragon Ball's power scaling is fucking out of this world. Is like the biggest thing.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Krillin is fucked strong compared to like every other like anime character, like sort of thing. So like that's like kind of the basis of that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. He said, I heard somebody in the last podcast recommend Eternal Return Black Survival, but they didn't explain it at all. A friend of mine has been playing it a lot. It's a Nova style game, like MOBA style game.
Yeah, it definitely means
I think
MOBA,
so. Yeah.
Like League is, as well as a battle royale, you need to run around the map looking for the items to build your higher tier items. So it's crafting. Feels slow, but it's a really cool idea to say the least. No apologies for the email length with as much text as Endymion, the mighty master of magic.
Cool.
So I did watch a gameplay of some gameplay of what was it?
Yeah, Eternal, I played three games of it.
Return Black Survival. Aiden, maybe you can tell me I'm wrong. The crafting looked very complex. And the gameplay seemed extremely slow.
The gameplay is pretty fun. The crafting is, once again, I'm saying this from someone who played probably five games total sort of thing. Dog shit. the game is like 90%, I think, based on crafting and like searching and planning your route. So like it's a MOBA in the fact that all your abilities like are MOBA type abilities and you run around and kind of like micro and whatever. And that's pretty fun. Like it's just, that's good fun. The problem is, so you choose a character and you have like a build and all those items, like think of like a legendary item in League or even like in Dota is probably like a better example because Dota, I feel like Dota has more tiers for like all the different parts of an item that are crafted together, mm-hmm. right? You have to go to these different zones on the map to find items. So most of the game is planning your route to find all the items in the different zones to craft your items to be stronger. That's like... I haven't played enough, so I don't know. It feels like that's more important than anything else in the game. And that's where it's problematic, I think. Like, the abilities all seem pretty fun. The characters seem, like, pretty fun. It's just, like, it's, like, 95% crafting, man.
I feel like the game that did crafting best is, it was The Calling.
The Calling, honestly. Crafting's pretty good.
It was really influential at the very beginning and really influential at the very end. And that's probably it.
Yeah.
Lots of counterplay. Like, I don't know. But, hey, maybe I'll give it a shot and we can get some chicken dinners? Is that what happens in that?
I don't know. It's anime, so it's like probably like, I don't know.
Probably kimchi dinners? I don't know.
Definitely. No, it's definitely a ramen dinner,
yeah,
right?
Ramen would be a good one.
Ramen's the anime food, according to Naruto.
The next email is from Musical Wolfie. Subject, Tom Kinchtop in Wolf Champ. Oh, we have a Wolf Champ already. Hello, LeeCast. I've been testing out Rek'Sai Top recently. It feels pretty good. It's like a budget Pantheon Top because I just dash in with Tunnel, Knock Up, and Auto Attack a bunch. The sustain is also really nice. That said, I'd like you to know that almost half of my games Top have been against Tom Kench. He's so goddamn frustrating to play against. His Q slow is obnoxiously long, and he gets free damage just from building health. Also, did you know that he can eat me while I'm in a tunnel? I did not know this. I had to learn the hard way. I figured I could just put more pressure since I can use my ult tunnels to roam quickly, but he can walk mid faster with his ult. I'm on the receiving end of the Aiden's Disciples, and I don't like it. Anyways, I was thinking of an animal champ to add, and I thought it would be cool to add a pack hunting animal, inspired loosely by the Rim Fang Wolf card from Legends of Runeterra, by the way. A wolf pack from the Freljord has absorbed enough magic energy to form a hive mind, and now they're intelligent and deadly. In-game, the pack starts as three wolves who are all moved together. The base setting is that one click moves all of them, but you can bind keys to control one at a time. Oh boy, I don't think League can have a group control character. Wolves, anyway. they can barely manage Annie and Tibbers. Yeah. I'm sorry, yeah. Tibbers and fucking Daisy. Wolves regenerate to max number after 1 minute outside of combat, so it's possible to kill all but one of the wolves, and then that one escapes to let the pack live on. I imagine this would bring very high skill cap to ever catching this guy out, because if they're in a bad spot, a good player could send each of the wolves to a different location.
Christ.
Oh my. Anyways, as for abilities, Q is a short point and click dash that applies a percentage slow per wolf. The idea is the more wolves you get, the stronger this is. W is a howl, where each wolf howls, empowering other nearby wolves with move speed, stacking on how many howls each wolf gets. E is Hunter, attacking slow targets grants bonus damage. R is Strength and Pack. Every three kills and every rank up of ultimate, you get another wolf. And that's it for the Wolfpack. What do you think? I get that it's very hard to make work, but I think it would be pretty sick if Riot could pull it off. Oh, and one last question. Where did the giraffe meme come from? Did you truly make the meme, or did Jeff the Giraffe find you? You're welcome for the tremendously large email, Musical Wolfie.
It's always been Jeff the Giraffe.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a Toys R Us sponsorship, but that's not looking too hot current days. No, it's just like, I don't know. I don't know. One of us brought it up, and it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Giraffes are cool.
Giraffes are cool, but they're also just hilarious because they're so mm-hmm. weird-shaped.
Yeah. I think this character is really cool and is very similar to a character in Dota. Spoiler. But I don't think a control group character like this one could exist in League. I imagine this character never, ever dies because when you're about to die, you just split up two wolves. And then if they don't have CC for all of them, hey, guess what? They're out.
Yeah. I think the only way you could make something like this work in League currently would be if you played, like, the pack leader and the ultimate was like summon wolves.
Yeah.
Right? We're like, hey, for the next 30 seconds, or even like, hey, your ultimate is summon one wolf and it just like follows you and mimics your ability and has like, I don't know, 20% of your HP and like it can just be killed for like 30 gold or something.
Spoiler, that's another Dota character.
Yeah. But like, I think that's the only way to really do it because like I controlling think so multiple doesn't work. Also, I can't wait if they ever did do something like this and then like, if two wolves cue you, it's like, okay, does the spell shield block one of them or both of them?
Yeah.
And it why is it inconsistent because... depending on if it's Sivir, E, or Banshee's Veil?
Yep. God, I hate that. God, I hate that so much.
Yeah, I needed to remind you about that, Nick.
God.
But no, I think it could be really cool if it was like you just play like, you know, a big wolf character and the ultimate is like you summon a bunch of extras to like mimic your stuff. And even if it was, like, the pack is a pet that has multiple units, but, like, you control the pod of them, where it's, like, rank one ultimate summons, like, two wolves, and then, like, four, and then six.
Yeah.
But they have to move together and be controlled together, because, like, once you get outside of two, which even two doesn't work properly a lot of the times, like, Shaco clone, summoning Daisy, using Tibbers, like, those aren't great on their own. If you tried to have more than two, it gets really, really messy, but the concept is super fun.
Yeah, and obviously people would figure it out and get proficient at the character. It's just that's not the kind of game that I think League wants to be. So.
Yeah, and then I guess at that point, I don't know what all games you play, but if you really, really like the idea of controlling a lot of things and a lot of moving parts at the same time, play an RTS.
True.
Like,
or just start playing Dota. Play Meepo.
I don't think you can get anywhere near the levels of like high level StarCraft. You're controlling like 90 different.
No, like, is there anything like that?
No.
Like, that's other than RTS. Another RTS? Yeah. So, but I think that's the most comparable thing in a MOBA. Or you could play Heroes of the Storm, you know, and play Lost Vikings.
Yeah.
Or Rexxar. We do have one more email that came in at the last minute from Eltano.
What if just played bot lane with two computers and one you made yourself be Yumi and the AD carry?
True.
That'd kind of be like the same. From Eltano, the Sona one-trick pony that also plays Seraphine. Oh, all right, boys. Subject, Seraphine is not Sona, but... Hi, LeeCastCast. I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years now, and I enjoy the great content. I never wrote in because, if I'm honest, I'm too lazy. However, you finally forced me to write in and let my 600,000 mastery points on Sona be the argument why I am the authority on the Seraphine versus Sona debate. Smiley face? Winky face, sorry. The reason why this discussion triggers me is that you talk about the Seraphine is Sona 2.0 circle jerk. Sona mains like me have some legitimate reasons to be unhappy with the release of Seraphine. Reducing the topic to the Seraphine is Sona 2.0 circle jerk, neglect that and put me into the same group as the people harassing me when I pick Sona in solo queue because she is, quote, bad Seraphine. Seraphine is not Sona 2.0, but she very well could have been. The two champs play differently, but with some minor tweaks. Seraphine could have been a really good Sona rework. I'm not here to argue for one of the two sides, but rather to present some arguments why Sona mains have a reason to be angry. Seraphine and Sona are not just similar. They share many similarities in kit, theme, position, by now build. Non-Sona players think of Sona as a pure heal bot, but in lane, she would almost never use W because of its high mana cost. Sona mains in the past would opt to play her in lane as a poke mage, using the Q power cord and auto attack resets to chunk AD carries, and I mean without Dark Harvest in the full AP build, but with the Enchanter build. After the Sona Taric, Sona Top, and Sona Lux lanes, she was heavily nerfed, and now more than ever, she feels like the useless support that becomes a heal bot in mid to late game. As a Sona player, I look at Seraphine and see the poke laning phase into utility teamfight playstyle that I feel was taken from Sona with the consecutive AP ratio nerfs and removal of Athenes. Riot's weird idea that she would primarily be a mid laner was one that I never understood. Her kit has so much utility that even without playing tons of AP, without buying tons of AP, I think, she outshines other supports. Yes, she has a higher win rate in other roles, but it is as a bot carry, not mid laner, and the play rate is still highest as a support. Parts of her kit have qualities that some in the Sona subreddit would ask for Sona. Allied Qners waste Sona's Q passive on minions instead of using it for trade. Seraphine's passive notes empower auto attacks based on allies in range, but it is she who triggers them. She can use them maximum efficiency. Sona's three stack passive power cord is connected to her auto attacks, but the short auto attack range will make it impossible to get one off in many matchups. Seraphine's auto attacks gains range for each note on a nearby ally. Nice. I started playing Sona because I fell in love with her unique playstyle. Trying to put out damage and even cover your frontline with your aura effects while being the squishy makes your positioning like a dance on the knife's edge. Sorry. Any misstep could be your demise, but if you master Sona, especially how aggressive you can be in the laning phase, you are rewarded with a champion that is the Enchanter Kassadin. Sona has seen many nerfs and a few buffs on her numbers, and the only kit update she got was the mana cost nerf with aura refund to keep her out of top lane. This has made trading in the bot lane more difficult, as you have a more limited range when trying to trade with your power cord and will miss the refund if you have to dodge hooks after using your poke. Seraphine kits with some tweaks would have been a good Sona rework, and having skill shots is something I don't mind. However, there are not just Seraphine lovers and haters. I myself like playing Seraphine because she reminds me of laning a Sona when she still had decent AP ratios. She is different, sure, but with Moonstone and her long cooldown W, she heals decently in the late game while providing more CC than Sona. I like that they tease Seraphine with a Twitter account. It was rather original, and I love it when my gaming hobbies transcend into other areas. P.S. Yes, there is a difference in ult usage, as you mentioned, because Sona ult comes out faster. Flash ult is a good engage tool, while Seraphine ult is more of a disengage tool or fighting CC that needs an ongoing fight. I'm really sorry for the long email. I hope it was not all over the place with my argumentation. It was late, and I had to get it off my chest. El Tano.
I think it's a very good email.
So I think you... Yeah. No, you absolutely brought up a lot of good points.
I think the whole thing can be summed up in Seraphine is not Sona, but Seraphine does have a lot of things that would make Sona more fun.
Yeah.
And, like, Sona needs some love, I think.
Absolutely.
And, like, that's absolutely true. Nick, I'm going to let you go in just 1 second, but, like, this whole time when you were reading it, I was just, like, thinking of ways to rework Sona as if we were doing the S characters, and man, I've got some ideas for Sona, but you go ahead.
Aiden, if you wanted to jump in.
I just want to say it was like really well written email, and that
absolutely.
I agree with your points, and I also think it does probably suck to be grouped in with a group that you dislike because I do think those two like have similar, like you being a Sona main who just wanted her to be something more versus people who actually just think they're the same character. I think those groups are similar but are very different. It probably sucks to be compared to those two, I guess, but
absolutely. And I think there is 100% like a good reason for Sona mains to want their champion to be modernized, I will say, because I do think Seraphine is a good, I won't say a modernized Sona because I don't necessarily think that's true, but I think that is what that's a good baseline to go off of. I think Sona has always been a character who has a lot, and I mean a lot, of hidden power that is not as flashy as Seraphine is. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the single biggest reason that people think Sona is like just so much worse than Seraphine. Yeah. Obviously, this is a very small sample size and maybe not the best example of this, but worldwide Diamond 2 win rate for Sona, 50.94% in the support role. In the support role for Seraphine in the same parameters, 50.99. So Sona is not that much weaker. It's just she's less flashy. And I think that is a huge reason, like I said, why Seraphine seems to be Sona 2.0. Because I don't think that's true. So Sona has always seen like play, whether it be niche enchanter supports when Aframu brought it out at MSI, or you know, Sona Taric or Sona Lux. You know, she's a strong character with a lot of power.
Since she's come out, there's been a Sona meta every season.
Yeah.
At some point. Like, jump back to season 2 and like Moscow 5 ran Sona all the time.
I mean, there's no champion in the game who can apply Staff of Flowing Water, Ardent Censer, more consistently than Sona can in, you know, a 30-second time frame. There's no champion in the game who has a mini Sivir ultimate on, you know, a 7-second cooldown at max rank.
Yeah,
I do believe she did receive a kit sort of modernization when maybe I'm wrong about this and it's been a while, but she's not always had the cooldown reduction on her ulti ranks, right? That was an addition at a later time.
They've made some small tweaks to her. I remember it's been a while, but like they've made a couple small adjustments, and I think that they could do a lot more with her. But I think when it comes down to it, like, Sona is an aura character, and historically, auras have been incredibly strong and very underlooked.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, absolutely. I mean, the fact that we are now seeing how much damage is mitigated by the Locket aura, and it is a disgusting amount every single mm-hmm. time. And that's just a simple, what, two, like five armor and MR? Two?
Yeah. And like,
it's not a lot.
It's not. But yeah, like, auras, again, historically have been stupid strong. It's the reason Abyssal Mask got changed and then removed. It's the reason Innervating Locket was removed. It's the reason that, like, there were so many aura items back in seasons 1 and 2. Like, Will of the Ancients, it was an aura item.
Double Woda.
There was Area of Effect magic, mana regen. There was, like, there were so many auras that they had to take away. Stark's Fervor, they had to take that away. Like, it's because they're so strong, but people don't see it because it's just factored into their stats at that point. Right, and nobody thinks that, like, it's because of it, right? When Yuumi buffs your AP by whatever stupid amount it is, like, you see that number go from, like, 600 to 800.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps a little bit, but even then you're just like, yeah, well, the thing that did the damage was Veigar Q.
Yeah.
But, like, if a character is standing next to you and giving you plus 10% damage and you're not thinking about it, you're like, yeah, man, I'm so good at Jinx. Look at how much damage my attacks did. And you're like, well, 10% of that damage was Sona.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you're looking at it, Sona by herself does not have as much power as Seraphine by herself. But the idea is that Sona is more effective with allies. I guarantee her Q passive does, you know, the bonus damage, does more damage if both of the targets hit versus Seraphine with one ally's notes if she auto attacks by herself. Sona did receive a mini, I'll say, maybe not rework, but sort of an update in season 6, it looks like. So she has seen a lot of change. Sona is a character that if she's too strong, she just single-handedly wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think we see this on ARAM all the time. I think she's, if not the most nerfed character on ARAM that might belong to Ziggs, she's probably like the second or third.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I don't have to defend Sona to someone with 600,000 mastery points, but I think Sona has a lot of strengths that get thrown by the wayside, but for in the argument against Sona, but that get attributed to Seraphine in her argument. I'm sure you've seen this, but it is very frustrating to see, you know, these two characters. Not even compared is the right word, because comparison is fine. You can compare everything, obviously. But like calling it a Sona 2.0, that's very frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Sona does need modernizations, and maybe that would have been Seraphine, but that's not what we got. I don't think anyone would have wanted to erase Sona, and you know, copy paste or cut paste Seraphine in instead of her. I think a lot of people would have been upset at that as well. Mm-hmm. So why not implement a new character who can do these things rather than, you know, completely remove a character who has her place occasionally. You know, she's not always pick or ban, but
just give us the Sona rework. Give it right. Give me the reins. I got ideas. True. I got plans.
We'll get to that on our Patreon.
When we do the S characters, you guys, I'm going to have forgotten all about it.
Yeah. So thank you, Tano. Keep playing Sona, you know. Sorry if we upset you or anything like that. Obviously that's not the goal here.
That was my goal. I wanted to piss him off.
But we definitely appreciate your input. You worded your arguments very well. That'll do it for this episode of LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening. Send us an email to mail@leaguecastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch. We are twitch.tv/bluebasket/leaguecastfrost. Tweet at us. We are at LeagueCast on Twitter. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast, facebook.com/LeagueCast. Our website is leaguecastpodcast.com, and you can join our Discord, leaguecastpodcast.com/Discord. Finally, support us financially on Patreon and get access to us fixing Sona in a couple months. But all the champions between, I think we did M's last.
We're doing N's and, next.
Yeah.
M's will be up at the end of this month, or by the end of this month.
So yeah.
Aatrox the Nautilus.
So yeah, and you can do that at patreon.com/leaguecast for just $1 a month. That's nothing. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.